Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a terrifying encounter with a Ouija board leaves a young man with a story he almost took to the grave. Also, were the strange voices and occurrences that one woman endured the spirit of a long-deceased individual seeking revenge?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And I will do my darndest to get it on the air as soon as we can. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Oh, I got to turn your mic on. There you go.
You just keep trying to mute me all week.
I know. It's a trend. It's trending. I'm trying to play with my mic processor down here because last night when we had tornado warnings and I had to run down here and get my computer, I wasn't thinking the other day when I've been trying to do some cord organization in the studio because there's cords over in your general vicinity. And there's really only so many ways to hide them.
Yeah.
But I found some ways. I got some zip ties down here below the desk, and I had zip tied a bunch of stuff together.
And you zip tied your laptop.
And I zip tied my laptop. And tornado sirens are going off, and I'm just like, and I had to undo all my zip ties, and then I had to get it unplugged from back here because I had plugged it in this very inconvenient area. But I never move. I never take the laptop anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't even think of it anymore of like, oh, I better have a place where I can quickly unplug that. And if I need to quickly unplug everything, I just pull the full thing out of the wall with everything on it. But so I'm trying to, I grab the mic processors because they're behind the mic processors and I got to get in there. And in the course of doing that, I think I bumped some stuff on my mic processor. So I'm like, I'm not quite sounding exactly, well, maybe there's a little bit better. There's something that's kind of off with it and I'm not quite sure what yet. So I'm going to be kind of messing with this throughout the day. So if I press, hey, there we go. That sounds a little bit better. I like that better.
So to all of us normal non-radio people, we don't hear anything different in what you just did at all.
There was a little crispy on there. It's kind of bad. Check. Now I'm dying out. See there, I'm dying. I'm slowly dying and I'm going to be gone. Got to press that button. It's phantom power.
I'm glad you have such an ear for that. That's really a skill and a talent because that's completely, I cannot hear at all what you're talking
about.
I'm
not great at it. And there's some radio dorks out there who are like uber like nutty about it. And they can sit there and they can tell you just down. There's like 20 knobs over here. And I'm not one of them. But there's so many ways to mess with these things. And once you get it where you want it, you'd never want to touch it again. Mm-hmm. The worst thing that ever happens in radio, in a radio station, is the regular DJs during the week, we have it. It's set where we want it. We all kind of have an agreement point of how we want the mics to sound. Mm-hmm. And we don't touch them. And we're good because we use it every day of the week. And then back in the days when radio stations actually employed human beings and it wasn't just everything was all automated, you'd have what's called weekend staff that would come in. And those are the worst because they'd be the ones who go in there and screw with all the knobs. And well, this makes my voice sound so much deeper. And they're already, they already talk like that. But they, of course, that extra little oomph on the mic just makes you sound so much better when you already sound horrible. Anyway, then you get in on Monday and what happened? And eventually they go, then they're behind a lock box.
Okay.
Not even kidding. Many stations.
Like a thermostat box, but for your board?
Bigger. Well, yeah, for the processors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have it like in a case and it'd be locked. Yes. Very much like a thermostat box. and then you want to talk about angry part-timers. Like, why do you do that? This can't sound great now when I'm talking up the raptor third eye blind. How's it going to be? on Mix FM. How's it gonna be? That's not how it starts.
That's not how it starts.
I don't know the first words though. I can do that version of it.
Okay.
Like to do another song or
no?
Go to a ghost story.
Let's do a ghost story. Okay. It's a ghost show.
That is true. Did you hear about the North Carolina college student who thought her apartment was haunted?
No, I did not.
Or dorm that was haunted. Turns out it was just a man that was hiding in her closet wearing her clothes.
Ew.
Him wearing her clothes in her closet.
That's far worse than a haunting.
The woman referred to only by her first name, Maddie, was in her bedroom when she heard a rattling sound in her closet on Saturday. According to a TV station, the University of North Carolina Greensboro student was first thought that there might be an animal inside the space or a ghost. There had been rumors of hauntings. She decided to leave nothing to chance. Said, I've been having like pieces of clothes missing, she said. Said nothing had been spotted as far as handprints or anything on the bathroom wall. She heard the noise. She goes, who's there? And to her surprise, she gets an answer. And the guy's like, my name's Drew.
Oh, God.
Goes over, opens up the closet door. And there's the guy standing there wearing her clothes, socks, shoes, everything. Had a full bag of them ready to go and get out. Was not a haunting at the end of the day. He's being arraigned on some charges. And haunting has been explained.
Okay.
So, there you go. Next time you think it's a haunting, just maybe a strange man in your closet wearing your clothes. Maybe. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our letter. This one says, back in high school, I had a bizarre encounter with a Ouija board. I do not particularly believe in paranormal activity, but I have had experiences, too many weird events in life to not believe them. I lived in Ontario, which has always been very active as far as supernatural activity and folklore. As a kid, my friends and I did a lot of research in the area, including going to graveyards. Had a lot of fun and some terrifying experiences. Halloween has always been my favorite time of the year, and I'm a relatively hard-to-scare person and a hard-nosed skeptic on most happenings. This particular time that I'm referring to was the single event that stopped my investigations and even my talking or writing of these events for nearly 18 years. Back in high school, I had a girlfriend who lived in an apartment building. Her father was a manager, and we had full run of the game room and the party room. The party room was upstairs in the main floor. It had a small kitchen off the back of the main room and plenty of windows. It was meant for parties and gatherings, so it had tables and chairs. Game room was the old party room downstairs. It was a room built into the basement storage area. It had no windows and was two large rooms connected with an arched walk through a big closet on the far end. In the first room off the door was a ping pong table. The room was large enough to allow about 5 feet of room all around. At one end was the closet and the other, the arched opening into the separation chamber. The separate room was L-shaped. It had a 12-by-12-ish area that you walked into. Often we'd set up a small table and chairs in the area for poker games. The area behind it was longer and had a pool table with several couches on the far side and the far end. It was a perfect area to get in trouble, and we often did in the game room. We had a group of about six people that would often get together. Four of us were pretty deep into our research in the area and had already had a ton of weird stuff happen to us. One night, to have some fun, we went to the party room and looked through the small collection of games in the cabinet. These games were old games. Even at the time, many were ancient from the 60s and before. These games were donated from past tenants. In the collection, we found an old Ouija board. It was nothing special. It looked to be manufactured probably in the 40s or 50s. It had a black box with a board and pointer in the dark. Candlelight with gypsy-like hands on it on the front. It looked very cool. We figured, let's play. We opened it up and set it up. The board was black with red numbers and white letters, said yes, no at the bottom. The pointer was a large black spade with little plastic feet and brass tips. Nothing special. We waited until later when the other two friends showed up, and then we played it. We all pushed the pointer around and laughed. We asked it eight-ball type questions. We'll get an A in math, we were thinking. We're asking things of that nature. I think we all had fun guiding the pointer to funny answers. Needless to say, we got tired of the game very quickly and left it on the table and moved into the other part of the room to chat and eat potato chips. In the middle of our conversation, a clunk sounded came from the Ouija board. When we looked at it, the pointer had fallen on the floor. Not a big deal, but it was reasonably confusing how it could fall from the center of the board and table to the floor. We all chuckled about it and joked that it was a ghost. The next day, we made plans to have an actual seance in the game room, in the basement, with candles and everything. Well, we did. We turned on the lights in the basement of an apartment building with no windows. It's incredibly dark then. Pitch black to the point you cannot see your hand, no matter how close you hold it to your face. All we had were four or so tea lights. It was still very dark. We started asking questions, this time more serious. Questions about spirits, about names, about the presence in the building or room. We got some answers. I, being the skeptical figure, I thought someone was driving the pointer. We had weird things happening for the first night, but not too weird. Stuff like thumping and knocking. We were in the basement of a 7-story apartment building, but the floor usually did not transmit much sound. We often played a radio or CD player to provide some sort of ambient noise. We had fun that night, got a bit freaked out, but nothing that pushed this experience out of the realm of fun. We liked the seance and decided to have a few more. My girlfriend asked her father if she could keep the Ouija board, and he agreed it was okay. But being a very religious man, a note of concern of why we were playing with it. We decided it was all in good fun. He told us that an old lady from an apartment upstairs had passed away and her family left the Ouija board behind. He was going to throw it out, but decided to put it into the donated games pile. My girlfriend remembered the old lady. She used to give her special salt to sprinkle around her room to keep the bad people away. She had a bunch of odd things like that in her apartment. So this was her Ouija board, and she was a little bit of a strange character. I think she was either a very superstitious person, or she could have been as much of a modern-day witch. Who knows, but she did something to this Ouija board that we think made it evil. We had a few more of our seances, and weird things started progressively turning worse. Other friends sometimes joined, so it was not always the same people. But my girlfriend and I were the two constants with the seances. Every night that we played, a particular name came up. Constantly, even when we just watched. We told no one of this name, and it still would come up. They'll not mention it in fear that it might provoke problems. Either way, it was getting freaky and out of control. One night, about the 6th or 8th seance, we had something terrible happen. In the middle of the seance, all the tea lights blew out at the same time. It was pitch black in this game room. We could all see a figure crawling on the walls. We all four saw them at the same time. Thinking back, they looked and moved like a fuzzy Spider-Man up then across the walls. There were about 4 or 5 of them. I bolted for the lights and turned them on. I got mad thinking someone blew out the lights, but I could not explain the shadows on the walls. The game room was so dark without the light that there were no shadows. This freaked the hell out of us. We decided not to play anymore. We put the Ouija board back in the party room and left it for about a month. During that time, my girlfriend was having bad dreams and having night terrors. Her parents were trying to calm her down and convince her it was all just a case of an overactive imagination. After most of the month went by, we started talking about playing again, but not for fun. To actually be smart about it and try to properly say goodbye to an active spirit or to send the message that we're done. To help my girlfriend sleep at night, we decided to have another seance. We did our research on how to properly say goodbye to spirits on the Ouija board and called over 2 of our faithful friends. We entered the game room with the Ouija board, and immediately as we walked in and turned the lights on, we all, in the transition from dark to light, saw a figure of a person in the corner look up at us and smile. Then in the full light, it was gone. I don't know how to explain it. There was some slight delay in the lights from when I flipped the switch to when the room became fully lit. This scared the crap out of me and everyone else. I ran out and did not return for a couple more weeks. During that time, we all started to have nightmares, very real and nasty nightmares. My girlfriend still had them very bad, and the other girl was now starting to have these night terrors as well. Her parents called our parents to figure out what we were up to. To keep our sanity, we grasped desperately to the idea that conducting the proper goodbyes with the board is what we needed to do. We got together for one more seance. This last time we performed the seance in the party room where there was natural light from the street lights outside, and we did it late in the afternoon. Absolutely nothing happened. It was as if the board had gone back to normal. No contact, nothing at all. We felt hollow and unsure of exactly how to understand what was going on. Soon, all of us headed home. We all then proceeded to have nightmares that would continue to get progressively worse and worse. We decided that it would have to be done one or more times in the game room in the basement of this apartment building. The four of us, again, found ourselves in that room preparing to undertake a seance. We took a long time getting ready, since none of us were very excited about the idea of having the crap scared out of us once again. It all started getting very late. We didn't want to be up all night. We decided we better get going on the seance. As we started, it felt very cold in the game room, which was very unusual, because the room itself is very close to the furnace room and one of the hottest places in the apartment structure. This automatically started to stir us up. Then our matches wouldn't light, or the tea lights. We had ended up going upstairs and finding a barbecue lighter in the kitchen. Then our next problem was the tea candles would not stay lit, no matter what we did. I've seen a lot of fire in my days, and nothing has ever acted as strangely as these lights did. The flame was incredibly small and blue. It barely gave off any light, and it would shrink and flick right out. After about 10 minutes of trying to light the tea lights, we changed to large 6-inch dining candlesticks. They did stay lit, but were also unusually dim. With music playing in the background, we started. We asked our questions, and we got our regular spirit. We asked it to leave us alone. We did everything we researched to get rid of the spirit, and every time was either an answer of no or switching around the board. Finally, it got angry and refused to answer us. The candles then died down. Barely any light was visible. The music on the radio started to distort. The CD was playing, but it slowed like a tape getting eaten, or the voice getting dark, thick, and angry sounding. The shadows were black, crawling on the walls in a so very faint candle glow. I don't remember what was said, but I think one of us said, "Can you see him?" Maybe my girlfriend said, "Listen to the music." We exchanged two or three comments, then the candles all blew out. The table exploded in front of me, and I'm reasonably sure my girlfriend or friend kicked it as they jumped back. I heard the candles fall to the floor along with the board and the chairs. I threw myself back and hit the wall. It was very cold. The girls, two of them, were screaming. I scrambled for the light but stopped. I was momentarily lost in the room and could not think of where the light switch actually was and where the walls were compared to my location. Then the music started to go slower and slower. The voice, an angry, deep barking screaming, seemingly coming from the speakers. I could hear among the screaming and the angry voices small things crashing around me and hitting walls. That's what told me how close the wall was. I ran and grabbed it, still very cold. I ran along to the door. It took me great effort to pull the door. I was scared as hell. My adrenaline was pumping. I pushed the door open, and the light from the hallway flooded into the room. I couldn't see the walls, just an outline of the room. Just my friends appearing from the darkness as we all shot out of the place. We could hear the screaming and crashing in the room from the staircase as we bolted to my girlfriend's apartment. We were all so scared. I've never been that afraid in my life. And we're thinking, if I don't have a heart attack, I'll wake up the next day with all white hair. We told my girlfriend's father of the incident. We told him everything. He already had a good idea of what had been happening, as my girlfriend told him about it with her nightmares. He decided to take charge of the situation. He, being a religious man, had almost become a priest as a young man, but did not finish his vows and decided to get married and have a family. but he did have holy water on hand. He went downstairs with the sacred water and his rosary. We all stayed upstairs. After several minutes, he came up with a Ouija board. He said that the room was fine, that the table and the chairs were neatly in the center of the room with a board and pointer in it. The pointer was pointing to the word no. The radio was off but worked fine. The CD was still in it. The only thing that was in the room that was littered around was my girlfriend's CD organizer. It had about 40 to 50 CDs. And they were tossed all over the room, and some of them had hit the wall with marks. The CD book was empty. All the CDs were everywhere. He sprinkled holy water all over the room and scooped up the CDs into an empty trash can. He told us not to go back into that room ever again. We followed him outside to the back of the building. There he opened the maintenance garage and pulled out a wheelbarrow with dirt in it and moved it to the side of the building and placed a Ouija board in the center. Then he got a can of gas and some matches. He sprinkled some holy water on the board and said a brief blessing, something like praying to God to take the spirit out of the board. Things of that nature. Can't exactly remember the words that were said. He then poured a lot of gasoline and lit the fire. The gas, of course, exploded, but the strange part was the fire was not red. It was blue and very tall, 30-odd feet high, a column that lasted for several minutes. The board hissed like crazy and the fire died out, and it was gone. We looked into the wheelbarrow and the Ouija board was unmarked. My girlfriend's father was getting upset. He grabbed some dry twigs from the nearby landscaping and some cut-off lumber from the maintenance shed and tried to burn it again. The wood and twigs all got scorched, but nothing burned the Ouija board. It was untouched. My girlfriend's father was terrified and very upset. He told us not to worry. He was taking it to the church and that they would know how to handle it. He put the Ouija board in a burlap sack from the garage and immediately got in his car and drove off to church. It's like midnight or 1 a.m. Came back around 4 a.m. and told us that it was all over and that we did not have to worry any longer. We all went home. None of us had any more nightmares. None of us talked about it. And we did not do any more research or investigations. About a month later, the game room was torn apart and made into an additional storage area for the building. Our female friend left the group and would not and has not talked to us since. About 6 months later, I broke up with my girlfriend and have not had any communications with her or any of those friends since that time. About 2 years after that, my girlfriend and her family left the apartment building and bought a small house out in the country. A couple years ago, my wife had a friend over from work. It ended up being one of the other friends that occasionally was in our group of kids. She brought up the rumors of the weird seances that we had and how freaky that whole situation was. I did not explain anything more and told her I could not remember much of the story, other than it was a very scary experience.
That one is the winner of my favorite Ouija board story ever. Out of all the stories we've heard, that's my favorite Ouija board.
Ouija winner!
Yeah.
Pretty detailed.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, lots of freaky-ass shit in there, I think. I don't use that term lightly, because I think it's a very, it's almost a sacred term, freaky-ass shit.
You think so?
I think it got overused in the 90s and early 2000s, and I said, you know what, I'm putting that in a little lockbox carrying case. You know, you break the glass,
yeah,
like a fire extinguisher or something, and you only use it when appropriate.
Okay.
There's some freaky-ass shit in that story.
So that's like your highest compliment?
I think it is now.
Okay.
If I say freaky-ass shit, it means it's some dope freaky-ass shit. So there you go.
That was just great. I have nothing to really embellish upon or add to that or say in response other than, wow.
I think it calls, I mean, maybe a song. Maybe we should
No, bring, no songs.
I like a celebration
that
song.
That kind of ruined the moment.
I really think it would enhance it.
No.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a James Ingram song to pay tribute to this Ingram at the same time. Because he passed away a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but when this airs, it's like months, right?
No, and it's about a month.
A month, okay.
And I enjoyed James Ingram a lot. I'm just trying to think of a James Ingram song, and I'm like drawing a blank. He always you're like, I got one. I saw your eyebrows.
I've
like,
got one. I can't believe you don't have it.
Your eyebrows like, I have one.
It's when you sing all the time just to be random.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. Ouija be there. Oh. Ego, Ouija be there.
That's nice.
Whenever you call, place a planchette on the board.
Do you have another story for us?
I think so. Let's see here. All right, ready? Working until 10 at night, I often wasn't home until 11. On one particular night, I had been shopping after work and found a glass cutting board with a beautifully painted rooster on it. Just my neighbor, Patty Style. I wanted her to be surprised in the morning to find it on her porch. We lived in California. It's a country town setting outside of Sacramento. There were no porch lights between my house and hers. The thing I feared was walking to her place most was some drunk or spraining my ankle in a pothole. The country was safer in most parts in the city. It was more beautiful, too. There were hawks, a few coyotes, huge oaks that were hundreds of years old. So it occasionally led me to wonder what this land was like when it belonged to Native Americans before the Spanish and U.S. arrived. That night, fearing an addict, I let my baby dog out to walk with me. His name was Jellybean, and she was positive German Shepherd, a good companion and protector. About 10 feet from the porch, I heard a man say, "Shauna," over my left shoulder. She sounded like a mere yard from me. My adrenaline had started pumping, and I was getting goosebumps. My dog was sniffing some flowers and seemed to be ignoring the whole situation. I slowly turned to meet this person, my lungs filling with air, ready to scream and wake everyone if I had to, and no one was there. My dog was still enjoying the garden. I'm a logical person. I tried to figure out where the voice had come from. It was a voice that had no organic source. It had a crystal clear tone, though. I had no idea what this word meant. "Do you?" Deep in my bones, I felt like I had just intruded on someone, and this person was upset with me. I quickly ran to the porch, tossed my gift there, and called to my dog Jellybean, and we ran back home. I shut the door and every window to keep the light breezes out. I knew it was a ghost. My dog came over to me, and I petted her for a long, long time. Next morning, I left early to go to school and researched what this meant. I couldn't find any definition. That's when everything I loved began to get distorted off. It'd get destroyed piece by piece, but all within 3 months of that night. First, I was made to leave my well-paying job. Second, my beloved and up to that point healthy dog got very sick. The vet said nothing could be done for her. 3 weeks later, she died of a stomach tumor. Third, my car's transmission blew up. The school was 30 miles away and I had to drop out. Lastly, my beloved favorite aunt called me saying the doctors gave her only 2 weeks to live. She was a fit and healthy, non-smoking 74-year-old woman. She had lung cancer. Honey Jo, in many ways, had been closer to me than my parents. I went to visit her, but she passed on. All of these things happened concurrently. They were excruciating. It seems like it was more than a coincidence. This strange voice with terrible occurrences happening right after that. Was this sound coming from a Native American victim of a long-ago genocide taking revenge? What do you think? And I don't know if Shauna, that's what I read, is actually, I'm wondering if spell check changed. Changed what was actually said, because it's, I'm guessing here there was something a little more like unreadable that was called out. But that's, thank you, Windows, for saving us from reading a demon name out loud. It's like one good thing of technology today. It stops demon names. But so assuming that whatever that was, insert weird name here, what do you think?
Well, I would imagine that there's some kind of correlation there, because that's a lot to happen all at one time after such a strange occurrence.
Sure.
But I want to know if things ever got better or if this is just a recent thing and she just wrote it in. I don't know.
I have no idea. I know we're at least a year back from this story coming in, or around a year. But it seems that obviously things got very strange, and when there's no person there to, no explanation for that voice and that word to be called out, you really have to wonder, those strange coincidences right after, or are they a coincidence? As the listeners would say, Jenny says there's no coincidences.
I still stick by that. Things happen for a reason.
I think there's something to that one. Thanks for writing in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories and your experiences with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
So I'll try to keep this short. I'm really not a big believer in ghosts. Never really was. I'm not very religious. Back in May last year, a friend of mine asked to stay at my apartment because he had a conference to go to. It was close by. And I said, sure, stay over. He slept on the sofa. I went to my bedroom, closed the door. And for some reason, I locked the door. I'm not really sure why, but I did. But I woke up in the middle of the night with subconscious telling me to wake up and that I was dying. I felt like I was suffocating. There was just blackness all around me. I couldn't see anything. I don't even think I could open my eyes, actually. I think I was really dying. And something told me, wake up now. If you don't wake up now, you're going to die. And somehow I managed to wake up, and it was like, and I never have nightmares. I don't have night terrors. This is exactly what it was. And I woke up the next morning, and I told my friend, hey, this really bad dream. And somehow I felt like you were related, somehow part of that story. I'm not really sure, like, why I felt like he was part of that experience, but it was really disturbing. About six months passed, and he told me he went to Toronto with a friend of his, and he was taking pictures in front of a church, and it was around dusk, so it was really dark outside, and this friend was taking pictures of him in front of the church, and there's a lamp post right above him in the pictures, and as the pictures progressed, this dark shroud, a cloud, like a cloak, almost started like enveloping his entire body. And the strange thing is that the shadow wasn't like a typical shadow. It's actually conforming to his body. And the very last picture is really the most disturbing, is that it's almost like there was fingers coming out of his face, and the shroud or the cloud was all around him like it was conforming to his body. Then about 4 months later, he stayed at a friend's place, and the very same thing that happened to me happened to his friend as well. And somebody that I don't know, and somebody I never really told, I didn't really tell the story to, because it wasn't really that interesting until I found out that it happened to his friend as well. Then finally, someone came knocking on his door. It was an acquaintance of his who was kind of strange, believed in Santeria, came dressed in all white, and said that he felt like he should stop by because so he felt like he was needed there. And he let him in, and he had holy water with him, and told him, I think you can use this. And then proceeded to tell him that he felt like there was something following him, that someone had given him something, this evil spirit, and the only way he could get rid of it is if he gave it to somebody else. This day, it was such a strange story, and it still creeps me out, and I don't know. It's something that I won't forget, and it's definitely... definitely very strange. Hope you enjoyed that. Thanks.
Thoughts?
It makes me wonder how often spirits do that. They just attach from one person and then kind of almost drain them of any happiness and then move on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that's what was going on with his little group of friends, you know, at that time. So it makes you wonder if was that just some kind of asshole spirit, or was it something more?
I don't know. It's hard to know, and it's truly obviously one of those stories where if you don't really believe in this stuff very much, really kind of makes you go, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, creepy stuff. Remember when a Clearly Canadian had holy water?
No, they never had holy water. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was back in the late 90s.
No.
They were doing a lot of experimental flavors. Because Clearly Canadian's back now, but I remember they had, you know, there's like peach, raspberry, cherry, mountain berry, or whatever. There was a plain one, too.
You're going to get a letter from that company saying, please don't ever speak of our product again.
And they had Clearly 2, which was like a no-calorie version,
uh-huh.
And that kind of sucked. But Clearly, it was really refreshing. You could like totally, you rid yourself of demons, and you had the refreshing... crisp carbonated mountain water of Canada.
I need an app that just plays crickets, you know. Just press a button, you get crickets.
Clearly holy. It didn't last very long. 855-853-4800. He was talking about holy water. For some reason, my mind went Clearly Canadian holy water. I don't know why, but these things happen. And that's,
I love your ADD. It's so much fun.
That's just what popped into my head. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the program, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, get advanced access to all of our episodes weeks before they go to the public. You also get EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. If you haven't heard them for a while, check them out. Thursdays, we give you a little preview of the episode, like 5-10 minutes, sometimes even up to 15, depending how long the episode is. You can get a real good taste of that. And if you like it, ghostpodcast.com to get all of those. $5 a month. Keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brisky, I'm Tony Brisky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.